Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. We go slowly and methodically through God's Word and try to highlight and bring to life things that just don't obviously jump off the page at you sometimes. You got to read this book over and over and over and over again, and every time you go through it, you will get something. God says so. We've come a long way. We're into 1 Kings, into the reigns of the kings of Judah and Israel. It's a separated kingdom now because civil war has broken out. Simply because when they came into Canaan, they didn't keep the statutes of God. God said, remove all the persons in Canaan. Do not procreate with any of them. Well, they thought it'd be a better idea to have servants. So, you know what happens. They kept them for servants, then they started having children with them, and vice versa. God told them before they went in, you do this, you'll be cursed. If you expel them from the land, you will be blessed for generations. God said it. Moses spelled it out for them. But if you've been following along on WVFFradio.com in past episodes, you'll see this. This is a very stubborn, and God's word is stiff-necked people, the Israelis. They've ignored the first covenant. That's not the Ten Commandments. I don't care what pastor told you. They've ignored the first covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. So God laid the law on them, the Ten Commandments, and it grew to an unbelievable volume of statutes where you can be sinful by accident. Unbeknownst to you, you can be sinful. It's unbelievable the uncleanliness under the law. And the law does not provide for forgiveness. It provides for a momentary covering through sacrifices and religious functions. So God established this law to show them the absurdity of trying to keep yourself holy with your hands. It can't be done. So that one day they would cry out for the simplicity of the first covenant, which was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. You'll find that in Genesis. God was talking to Abraham. Jesus Christ came and reestablished the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Made it even a little bit easier. You don't have to do those cuttings, you know. So we're into the kings. It's not going very well. Nation of Israel erupted into civil war within 200 years. They got past that. Then we got into the first king, Saul. Didn't work out very well. Saul was too proud, too arrogant. And we got into his son, David, whose heart followed after God completely, even though his flesh didn't always follow after God, but when God evaluates David, he said, even during the darkest times of your life, your heart never wavered. And if you can understand that, Christian, have you ever been in a bad situation where you know you're sinning against God, but that wee little voice inside you is in there trying to persuade you to not do it? That's the spirit man, which God said I placed in the heart because the mind is contrary to the will of God and the flesh is an abomination. So it's up to the spirit man to gain control of the mind and guide this flesh in the way it should go. You will be judged by your heart one day. Go through this Old Testament when you read it and underline every time you see a reference to when God is talking about the heart of man. That's what one of the major themes of the Old Testament is, the heart. That's what God's after. He's not after your money. He's not after a verbal explanation that you follow Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you get up in front of church and make a confession of faith if the heart is not the one doing it. If it's just a thing coming from this body and mind, it means nothing. The heart must follow after God. And God will judge you by the heart one day. So we are into chapter 16. We've gotten into Solomon was the third king to come, and he began following God with all his heart. Then his flesh was allowed to take over, even though his heart was still in there, trying to follow God, the flesh through excess. And this is a major theme in the first half of the book of Kings, is excess. You give this flesh all at once, the spirit man will go to sleep. You must keep this flesh under control. Paul says all things are legal for the Christian under the original covenant of follow God with all your heart. But not all things are good for the Christian. And if you're following God with all your heart, you'll know what isn't good for you. And he says to keep all pleasures in moderation. All things in moderation. Food. Oh, yeah. No, people think about worldly pleasures. They think about sex and drugs and alcohol. But you know what? Food. Food is the biggest drug that puts the spirit man to sleep. You go ahead and pack on the extra pounds. You watch that spirit man slowly lose his initiative. Not quite able to tell this flesh, this is what we need to do. It's, after a while, it just becomes a suggestion. We are in chapter 16, come a long way. One thing I want you to pay attention to is when a new king takes over, the Bible will say, and this king either followed God or did not. Most of them did not. We're in a very, very bad time for Israel. And God said it would happen because Solomon did what he did. He got into major excess, imported 1,000 wives, foreign wives with foreign gods, foreign customs. And he began to erect altars and high places for them. He was pleasing his women. He put pleasing his women above pleasing God. You know, family's important. God comes first. And your family comes second. You come third. You got to remember that. Chapter 16, the book of 1 Kings. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "For inasmuch as I have exalted thee out of the dust, made thee prince over my people Israel." This is the prophet talking to the current king of Israel. "Thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam," who we talked about, Jonathan, became the gold standard for not following God and doing whatever pleased you.
Yeah, set up your own religion.
Yes. "And hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins." So God told him, "All right, I'm watching you really close, and I don't like what I'm seeing. Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house." That means he will eliminate the family line and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, whose line was totally eliminated. "Him that dieth of Bashan in the city shall the dogs eat. Him that dieth of his in the field shall the fowls eat." The very same judgment that was put on Jeroboam. So this guy was just as bad. "Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. And Elah his son reigned in his stead. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, even provoking him to anger with the works of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, worshiping other gods and all sorts of debaucherism. And because he killed him. So, yes, and that was the thing. He took over the kingdom by force. Even though Jeroboam was a really bad dude, he was the anointed king of Israel, just like we see. Book of 1 Samuel, David said, even though Saul's trying to kill me, he's the anointed one of Israel. He's standing there with his sword, and Saul's sleeping. He says, I dare not touch him. So in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him. And he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. So we got, he's there in taking part in major excess. And possibly, had he not been drunk, this might have not been carried out. All things in moderation. Zimri went in and smote him and killed him. Much easier to kill a drunk man than it is a man who has his wits. And wouldn't you say, Jonathan?
Yeah.
In the 20th and 7th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And we're talking about the king of Israel. It's a separated northern and southern kingdom now. And Asa currently sits on the throne in Judah. And Asa followed after God with most of his heart, but failed to tear down the high places, which means he knew of things going on in the kingdom, worship of other gods, and he didn't make a valiant effort to get rid of it. Came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. Now, that was the prophecy that Jehu had just spoke about. These men have free will, but they're also orchestrated and guided by the will of God. Who do you think put that in his heart to do? God had just passed that judgment. So as soon as this man came to the throne, he wiped out Baasha's family. He left him not one that pisseth against the wall. It means every male of his family was killed. Neither of his kinfolks, nor of his friends. Oh, he took it to the extreme. Wiped out his buddies and drinking buddies, too. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sons of Elah, his sons, by which they sinned, by which they made Israel to sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard that Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king, whereof all Israel made Omri the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. It came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died for his sins, which he sinneth in doing evil in the sight of the Lord and walking in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin which he did to make Israel sin. We've talked about this many times. You have the Ten Commandments. These men all live under the law. They refuse the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart. Circumcise your children. Jesus Christ hasn't come back to reestablish the first covenant God made. You're living under the law. The law is very extreme. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then were the people in Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. So after his demise, Zimri's demise, we got two outstanding characters that rise up, two local politicians, and half the country says, we want this one. Half the country says, we want that one. These are not a united brethren anymore. They are so far from God that whatever they want to do in their own mind is the law of the land. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Gibeonath. So Tibni died, just kind of doesn't expand on that, did it?
No.
So these two probably middle-aged guys, they're both wanting the throne, and one dies. Imagine that.
Hit on the back of the head with a sab.
What happened to him? I don't know. He's sitting off in the park dead.
He just fell off his camel.
In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. I want to give you something. During your Bible readings, when you get into Kings, when you read about a king, it's very, very, you'll gain so much more information. If you read about that king, and then you immediately flip to Chronicles and read about that king there. There's different information, there's more information, it gives you a full picture. So when you're reading about King Omri in Kings, and you get to the end of his reign, flip to Chronicles and read the chapter about King Omri, and you'll get a whole lot more information. And in the 31st year of King Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. He bought a hill and called it Samaria. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord. That's what I was telling you earlier. And did worse than all that were before him. Wow. He's outdoing Jeroboam, the gold standard. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Foolish acts. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, the son of reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, and we're talking about Judah now, began Ahab, this reference to Judah. They do that through Kings and Chronicles. They reference it. When a new king comes to power, they always reference it by the reign of the king in the other kingdom. Let's give you an idea of where things are at the time. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So, Christian, if it were spoken about you and John Smith, would they say he does evil in the sight of the Lord? Or he does good in the sight of the Lord? Or he tried to follow God with all his heart? Because that's all that matters. It's the attempt of the heart. Some hearts aren't as strong as others. That means some spirit men are not as strong as others. But it's all about the intent. Does that give you a license to sin? No, that means the spirit man doesn't care whatsoever. Long as there's a struggle going on in there, there is hope.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.